Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series about the evidence for the divine inspiration of God. It is the evidence that God himself wrote the Bible through the lips, the hands, and even the personalities of the authors of the Bible. And so with that, we're talking about prophecies that concern Israel, and this falls right on the heels of my series about Islam. I just thought it was appropriate to talk about how the Bible addresses Israel, how they've been talked about in the past in prophecies that have come to pass. Again, the Quran, and well, the Book of Mormon for that matter, the Jehovah's Witnesses, various publications, their Watchtower magazine, nobody has been able to produce good, solid, and I mean solid, accurate, specific prophecies. Nobody. And here we have a book that's been attacked for over 2,000 years, depending on which book of the Bible you're talking about, but the collection of books, it's been under scrutiny for 2,000 years, and yet it still stands as the most amazing book of prophecy ever written, the only book of prophecy that has accurate, specific prophecies, hundreds of them, some argue thousands. And so anyway, with that, let's go ahead and look at a few more prophecies concerning Israel that have come to pass. A pure language. This is interesting as well. And again, we're talking about the Jews and Israel and prophecies that have come to pass concerning them. God's chosen people. All right, so the last, like I said, 2,500 years, the Jews have been dispersed around the world, and their ancient Hebrew language pretty much got muddied up. When you destroy a nation, oftentimes the language gets destroyed with it. It just gets lost. All right. And the Jews were speaking Yiddish for the last 2,500 years. Okay, maybe not exactly, but anyway, their language had degraded to this impure form, Yiddish. All right, and this is what Zephaniah says. Zephaniah chapter 3, 8, verses 8 through 10. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Verse 9, for then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, the daughter of my dispersed shall bring mine offering. Okay, the thing I really want to key in on there is, for then I will turn to the people a pure language. And when Israel was established as a nation, May 14th, 1948, they decided to go back to their pure language of Hebrew. And that's exactly what happened. Something that has never happened before in the history of the world. A people going back to their original language. Again, just amazing. Evidence that God wrote this book, the Bible, through the lips and hands of men. So moving on, and in that same vein, when the Jews returned home, when they moved back to Israel after May 14th, 1948, well, and before, what ended up happening is all those, well, not all, but many of the most prominent, ancient cities got resettled and rebuilt. The name was reestablished for these different cities. Cities like Cana, Nazareth, Jericho, Nain, Bethany, Bethlehem, Hebron, Gaza. When you go there, when you go to Israel today, these same cities that are talked about for thousands of years throughout the Bible as it's been being written in the history of God's word and God's people, you see these cities showing up. And here they are again. They were utterly destroyed when Babylon took over. And yet here they are today. Well, Ezekiel talks about this. Ezekiel chapter 36. And it says, "And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." And skipping to verse 24, just to keep this in context, it keeps going. "For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." Again, I know we talked about this earlier. A lot of these prophecies have double, if not triple, fulfillment in various ways. Definitely double, okay? A lot of these were fulfilled when the Jews returned home after the Babylonian captivity. And so you have these prophecies being fulfilled way back then. The Jews were taken captive into Babylon, and the Jews returned to their homeland somewhere around 537, 538, right in that time, BC. And so you find the fulfillment of all these prophecies back then. But then, hundreds of years later, the Jews find themselves dispersed amongst the world yet again. And these prophecies find their fulfillment 2,500 years later on May 14, 1948, or, well, thereabouts, as they return home. And so moving on here, and I mentioned this earlier in the series, I think right at the beginning, but when the Jews return home, around 1948, the Jews started moving home. Many of them started moving back home before then, okay, years before 1948. But as they start moving back home, their land was a desolation. It was something you could not grow food on. It was just a desolate desert. You had lots of swamp lands. And the land that could be used for some kind of a crop was filled with rocks and boulders. And if you've ever tried to grow food on land, some kind of crop on land that's got big boulders, you can't just till up the land and plow your land with some kind of a yoke on a large beast, and then plant your seeds and have your water running through it. Okay, it's very, very difficult at that point. There are a lot of people nowadays that know how to do stuff like that. But the old way of doing agriculture, using some kind of a plow and working the land and getting water to run through it in a way that you can water your crop, you just couldn't do it. And so we have this prophecy in Isaiah 27, verse 6. And this is something that has shocked the world, what has happened with the land in Israel. It says, "He shall cause them that come to Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with its fruit." In chapter 35, verse 1, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And so what happens is, you look at Israel today, and it is, especially for how big the country is, Israel is one of the more productive agriculturally countries in the world. Now, okay, I understand there are many big countries out there that are smoking Israel as far as how much food they produce, but I'm just looking at per square foot, they are one of the most agriculturally productive countries in the world. That land is so full of various fruits and vegetables that they grow and then ship all over the world. And it says, Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. And that is so true. And their deserts, the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. And somehow Israel's deserts are now filled with food. They're growing so much food in these deserts. And basically, here we have a fulfilled prophecy. Their deserts have bloomed. It is a coveted and sought after land by the Muslims for many reasons. They want that land, but one of the reasons is just how productive it is. And so again, God's word shows evidence for divine inspiration. It shows that God wrote the Bible through the lips and hands of men. All right. And so pretty much coming to a close here on this one, but I just want to say a couple things here, and I'm going off the beaten path. This is not something normally I would bring into a series like this. I'm always talking about prophecies that have been fulfilled. But you know what? I think at this point, as far as we've gotten into this series on the evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible, I think that many of you are convinced at this point that God sees the end from the beginning. And I just want to say this concerning the Jews. In the last days, God's word, the book of Revelation, it does say that 2/3 of the Jews will be wiped out in Israel. But God will preserve his people, a remnant of his people, 1/3 of them, and he will put a mark on the foreheads of 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. Again, there's many people that believe that God is done with the Jews. These people that believe in replacement theology and that God is done with the Jews, and now America and the Christians are now God's people, God's chosen people. We've been grafted in, guys. Praise God that God has grafted in us Gentiles. But the Jews have not been replaced. And 12,000 from each tribe will be marked on their forehead as God's witnesses, his ambassadors to the Jews in the last days. And are we there in the last days? I don't know. I kind of tend to lean that way, but the point of my podcast is not to go into that. I'll let the prophecy experts, and there are so many of them, and they have such conflicting and diverging theories on what's going to be coming up the road here. I'm going to let them deal with that. I'm just trying to get people saved and arm Christians and give young people, and of course many of you are actually parents of young people, trying to give you reasons to believe and ways to defend your faith. Trying to get that in you. But just on that note, realize God is not done with the Jews. Not at all. Not at all. Okay. And when people try to say that God is done with them, they're just simply wrong. That's unbiblical. And eventually I'll do a series on replacement theology. For now though, that's it. So come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. There, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I definitely want to talk to you. You can also catch me on Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter. Again, you guys contacting me, you let me know what things you would like me to teach about in the future. And a lot of these series are piloted by questions and comments that people come to me with. So with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.